Of tzitzis. This week's Parsha Shelach, we learned about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Everyone knows that the language of the mitzvah of tzitzis is very similar to the language of the meraglim, uri isem es ha'oretz. Compare that to uri isem oisoy. It says in the pasuk of vayalu vayosuru es ha'oretz. Compare that to v'loy sosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einichem asheratim zanim achareihem. Certainly there are more references. Just those are two very, very obvious. And it's very obvious is that the mitzvah of tzitzis obviously is coming in some way, shape or form to be mesakein, to remind us daily, continuously in fact, of Eretz Yisrael. It's a really amazing thing about, you know, we live today, we talk about this a lot, is that what is the chiba, what is the desire to seek out shali shaloi mirushalayim, to seek out, you know, the good, the welfare, the success of Eretz Yisrael by the average Jew today. It used to be, we all hear stories from time back, way before technology came on the scene, is the chiba that people had to go to Eretz Yisrael. The love for Eretz Yisrael was something that was just unbelievable. Today we're spoiled. Today, to go to Eretz Yisrael, you know, you just hop on a plane and you come there. You were there within a few hours, and we have complaints if the food is not good enough on the plane, if the entertainment system is not just what it's supposed to be. And go back a generation, to go to Eretz Yisrael was an impossibility. And if you did go to Eretz Yisrael, it involved an enormous amount of Mesiras Nefesh. And this is just a hakdama, a small point to think about. I never really looked at the mitzvah of tzitzis in this way. You look at the mitzvah of tzitzis, so you know, we're brought up that we have a Yetzirah, and we live in a very, very world that's it's unprecedented. The issues of Shmiras Seinayim, a person today in 5 minutes can see more things than a whole shtetl in the combined lifetime can see in the life. Can you imagine, go back 100 years to go see things that are not proper? Right. To see things that are not proper, you can take a community of 100 people and you can add up the amount of things that they saw that were not proper their entire lifetime. That doesn't equal what an average Joe can see, unfortunately, in 5 minutes on his little device. It's a shocking nisayon that we have today. So we know, well, we brought up that the tzitzis is a constant reminder, or isim, so it's called mitzvah Hashem, v'asisim sam v'loy sosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einichem asher atem zoinim. That word zoinim means one thing only. It means arayos. The word zima, it means to go astray, right? It means, but the way we've been brought up today in the yeshiva world is that tzitzis is Hashem's reminder, shemiras einayim, regarding specifically what you're not supposed to be looking at, especially when it comes to noshim. But that's 100% true, and that is really all we need. And that's really, you know, it's not even enough. And it's obvious that this is an ikar. But it's also something else that's very important to recognize. Every time you look at the tzitzis, Eretz Yisrael. Every time you look at the tzitzis, you're reminded Hashem gave Klal Yisrael a gift. The Yerusha of the Avos, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Eretz HaKodesh. Hashem gave us this, our land. And the Meraglim had an opportunity. The Meraglim went to the Eretz Yisrael to go and do reconnaissance, to see Urei B'tuv Yerushalayim. And they deliberately decided to abuse the Koyach of Re'iyah and to look for things that are not good, and to come back and reject the land and to slander the land and to terrible Averos. The Yerusha of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael. And that's it. It's all history. From there on, and everything goes downhill from right there. So every time, and then Hashem gave us the tzitzis with the same language, uri isem oisoy, kneged uri isem esaretz, the v'loy sosuru kneged vayalu vayosuru esaretz. So that means every time you look at someone's tzitzis, you look at your own tzitzis, you see a shir bacha walking down the street and his tzitzis are flying around, you know what he's reminding you of? Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. B'machshev, the gift, the brach of Eretz Yisrael, the Yerusha to the Avos, Lech Lucha, the Artzucha, the Melatcha, the Eretz Asher Ekra. Every time you see those tzitzis, don't forget. Don't forget about the Kedushas HaAretz, the gift of Eretz Yisrael, your obligation to Eretz Yisrael, and don't chas v'shalom say something bad about Eretz Yisrael. That's mamish, like pashup shat. That's a pashup. Unfortunately, I never thought of it like that. You know, they thought you're in yeshiva. It means, you know, watch out. Shmiras, 100% true. 100% nothing to talk about. Shmiras Einayim. This is davar shebekedusha. 100%. But it's also, there's a very important thing to remember that you look at tzitzis, you're looking at Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now I want to talk about a topic, a little bit halacha and a little agada on tzitzis. First is halacha. A very important halacha, which I don't see people being too makbid on. And the question is, why are we not so makbid on this? It says in Shulchan Aruch that koidem sheyivarech, before a person makes the bracha every single day on tzitzis, l'satef b'tzitzis, or I make a bracha, I'll make a bracha on it, on talaskatan, a bocher, al mitzvahs tzitzis. The halacha is Shulchan Aruch, simin ches, it's towards the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. The halach is koidim sheyivarech ye'ayin b'chutei hatzitzis im hem kisherim kidei shelo yivarech b'racha levatala. Before you make a bracha, before you make the bracha and you say Hashem's name, you have to look at your tzitzis to make sure they are kosher. Okay, we're not going to give a shir now on what you look for. That's another shir, another time. All the laws of how many. If one chud is missing, it's okay. If three are missing, forget it. You're no good. If two, it depends where they are on two sides. Then it's okay. Two on the same side can be problematic, but on two sides can be okay. We're not going through the halachas. How long it has to be? That's
Shut them down.
That's a different topic. One second. Mark, you're very tough, Mark. You have very tough language. Shut them down. You sound like a Democrat. Rabbi Chol is grinning from ear to ear. Not everyone here knows this stuff, Rabbi Chol. Yeah, not everyone is so familiar with this terminology over here. Okay, so we have over here halacha that you have to be ma'ayin the tzitzis not to make a bracha until we're not discussing to make sure the tzitzis are kosher. If you see something is wrong, so you got a problem, do not make a bracha. Find out if it's kosher or not. And before you make the bracha, you're mechuyev, it says, what are the language of the mechaber? Koidim sheyivarech, it's an instruction. Ye'ayin, inspect. Bechutei hatzitzis, im hem kishedim, kidei shelo yivarech bracha levatola. Now this halacha, where does it come from and what exactly are the parameters? If you look around in shul, I don't see too many people doing this, especially those who come late. Those who come very early, taka. The ones who come early, taka, you do see them doing this, but the ones who come just on time or late, you don't see them. What exactly is the letter of the law? So the rush, a lot of it comes from the rush, starts with the rush, really goes back before, but the rush is the Hilcha Sitz, it says the following language. It's a very interesting language, and no one came after him until it gets down to the Mishnah Berurah really follows what uses the same language. And his words are very unique. Hachored lidvar Hashem. He introduced, doesn't say the Shulchan Aruch, he is three more words. Those who are chored lidvar Hashem. There is no good translation for those words. Okay, you can't really capture what those words mean in English. It's impossible. Hachored lidvar Hashem. Someone who's a true Yorei Shamayim. You really, doesn't capture the word, you tremble, you fear, there's something about that expression that you just can't capture. A person who is a authentic, serious Yorei Shamayim, Yivdoik, he will be Boydek. Hatzitzis koidem sheyivarech ala talis, kidei shelo tehe bracha levatala. Also, I didn't even notice until now, al hatalis. Why does he say the word talis? Because you make a bracha on tzitzis on the I take it back. There's a talis katan, a talis gadol, so everything is called a talis. Okay, fine. Oh, we're coming to that right now. Excellent. We'll come to that in one moment. So right away he says that who will do this? A person who's chored l'dvar Hashem. Is every single person consider themselves in the category called chored l'dvar Hashem? The Rosh has many piskei halachas, and he tells you what to do. And 99% of the halachas are telling you what to do in halach. He doesn't begin by telling you, ha-chored l'dvar Hashem will put on tefillin. Yeah?
You should be a chared.
You should be. What?
Chared l'dvar Hashem.
Ha-chored.
Not chorek.
What did I say? Chored. If I made a mistake, I'm sorry. With the dalet. With the dalet, yeah. I'm sorry. If I said the wrong letter, I'm sorry. A charedi. A charedi. Not a chareki. A charedi. Chored. I'm sorry. I didn't pronounce it correctly. Ha-chored l'dvar Hashem. A person who's a true, authentic Yorei Shemayim. Does the Rosh say this with every single mitzvah? Hachored l'dvar Hashem will be a shomer Shabbos. Will not light a fire on Shabbos. Hachored l'dvar Hashem will light Shabbos Neiros. What? The fact that he used this language implies this is not for the faint of heart.
Well, it's not for one of the Tariyat Mitzvahs. For the Tariyat Mitzvahs, you chayiv on your own to do it. But these are not things that it says specifically.
Right, so so the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't introduce, he deletes those words, and he writes, Koidem sheyivorech ye'ayin b'chutei hatzitzitz. Doesn't make any conditions. What's your level of Yiras Shemayim? I'm giving you a faher. And what your level of Yiras Shemayim? Just, this is what you do.
Experienced in their lives, maybe that's what they saw. In other words, you say you don't see people doing it. I don't know, I see my grandfather, my father.
But this is psak halacha. The Rosh is writing. The Rosh writes this. This is psak halacha. The Rosh is writing in Hilchos Tzitzis. In Hilchos, he's writing this as a psak halacha, and the Rosh and the Tshuva, and there's also a Tshuva say from the Rosh, and he writes there. Now the Rosh himself, though, see the Rosh himself explains. It seems that the Rosh in his Tshuvas, okay, in his responser, rabbinic. With the responsa literature. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Literature, responsa literature. He writes, the reason why he really basically says you don't have to do it. And the reason why people, so it's only in a Hanami, a person that is in an exalted level of Yiras Shemayim, because Me'ikar Hadin, you need not do this, you can be soimech on a chazaka, what Meir Appeldorf just mentioned. A chazaka. Right. You check it when you take it off, so it's already been checked, and nothing, you don't have to do anything happened. Chazaka, if it was good yesterday, it's good today. Chazaka. Now this opens up, I'll let you do the entire thing. He writes, Sha'ilam lo nagu luvda katzitz b'chol b'chol shah, shabisatzim b'talas, b'shem sh'yesh l'hamid atalas b'cheskas kash. Chazaka. And he writes also, and this that he writes in the Pesach Halacha Shachoreid, okay, it's a midas chasidus, it's a midas. That's how we reconcile. That's how we reconcile the stira in the Rosh. The Rosh in the Tshuvos says you don't have to do it. People don't do it because there's samech on chazaka, cheskas kashrus. There's a presumption that it was the status quo. If it was good yesterday, you can assume it's good today. Okay, yeah, the daf yomi. If a person was a man sends a get to a woman, who says the guy is still alive? Who says by the time the get reaches its destination that the husband is still alive? Chazaka. If he was alive yesterday, you could assume he's alive today. Okay, the different parameters in that. What age it stops?
If people are alive, the world.
It was tefillin, you can't check.
No, tefillin, why not? Tefillin, the same thing. Tefillin, it's sealed. No, exactly. There's no. Oh, so obviously he's saying very good is because tefillin are sealed. They're closed, they're protected. Even though years ago they were nothing like anything like they are today. Today it's really solid. But back in the day they were all dakois, who's sastaka? They were so good and they didn't have, you know, climate control. Most people they put their tefillin in the place of climate control. You go and you put, you know, if anyone leaves their tefillin in their car, hot car, forget it. You gotta get them checked. is serious business. So in time of Chazal, you know, there wasn't climate control. It wasn't under your control. So then maybe you have much more issues. Tzitzis are very delicate. They're very delicate. There are a lot of things to check. But tzitzis, today our tzitzis are definitely more robust. Our tzitzis today are of very high quality, and it's not so easy to snap the tzitzis. It's not, you have to really, you have to...
The knots become undone.
Okay, the knots, but even the knots come undone. It's still kosher. As long as you have just the first knot, it's kosher. You just, what? Do they wear talus all day long? No, I don't think so. Maybe talus katan. Okay, there's no question that you're saying you're making a very important point, which is strange. He doesn't even talk about it over here. I'm using it from our Dvorkis. He doesn't bring anyone down that makes that point, is that today, in the 21st century, our talus and tefillin are robust. Okay, the quality of the materials that are used to make the talus and tefillin are far, far superior to the quality and the conditions of the way our ancestors lived. So, if this that the Rosh says that and the Shulchan Aruch says that Ya'ayin L'chudei Hatzitzis, and the Rosh says that Chori Dvar Hashem. Well, if we were living in their times and there was no, and the conditions were very different than they are today, absolutely. Absolutely, there's a really significant concern that maybe the tzitzis are not kosher. But today, its quality is very different. So the
tzitzis is exposed to the elements more than every other type of food you're going to compare it to.
Correct. But yet today, we've adapted to that. And like you say, everyone, it's very rare that if you don't abuse your tzitzis, when's the last time you saw a guy in shul, oh, my talus is my... So even when they get stuck on the chairs, they don't snap. You look around, you know how often you find in shul a broken piece, a broken tzitzis. It's not so common. And even if one chut falls off, it's kosher. You need to have three, two, you know, depending on how they fall off, where they are. But the quality today is far superior. The conditions are far superior. So when you talk about chazaka, you know, there are different levels of chazaka. The chazaka means that there is a possibility. When it comes to being alive, no one lives forever. Okay, so there comes a certain point in time where the Gemara says that you are chayish, that the person may not be alive. But there are different degrees of chazaka. Okay, in any event, we have a principle, we have a steer in the rush, and the way we reconcile the steer is that nekira, then you do not need to do so, you have a chazaka. However, a chorid, it's a midus chasidus. This is the rush. Now what about the next generation? Rabbeinu Yaakov, okay, the Tur. Okay, what about the son of the Rosh? What does the Tur say? The Tur says, he says, not like his father, he writes, V'ya'ayin hatzitzis koidim l'chein sh'yeh shleimim shim niskal kel echa mehem hu brocha levat Allah. The Tur, which pretty much is very, very similar to what it says in the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber, he says, you should do so. This is not a midus chasidus. The son of the Rosh seems to argue on his father and is taking hold of other Rishonim that hold, no, you have an absolute obligation every single day to check your tzitzis. So it's not, oh, but what about the chashash of a chazaka? So here we get into a whole beautiful discussion of when you say chazaka and when you do not say chazaka.
Is this also more serious than any other mitzvah that you're doing?
Because?
If I made the bracha, didn't make a bracha on a glass of whatever, okay, it's done and over. Tzitzis, every second that I'm mirroring this begging out of the compost without the tzitzis on it.
You're being over on the bitla say. Okay, excellent. Okay, now they don't say that. They say, now why over here don't we say chazak? Now chazak is a very big sugi, but why over here would you not want to say chazak? If it was good yesterday, let it be good today. So here are some of the issues. First of all, are you able to be mevarer? You have to go back to the Gemara and analyze. This is a major topic. Just go to some of the basic yisodis. Chazara. What are the examples of chazak? Let's say the case of Daf Yomi, only 2 days ago. A man sends a get. He sends a get with a shliach. is the mishaleach still alive? Is the sender still alive? Okay, whatever it's nogea, whatever the case, however you want to construct the case. There, when the recipient, the woman receives the get, is it possible for her to verify that the husband is alive? So one-way ticket. The woman lives on Mars. The husband lives on Earth, and they send the shaliach. There's no going back. It's a one-way ticket. There is no way to be mevarer, to clarify if anything has changed. The classic examples in the Gemara where we have a question, should we assume that if everything was okay yesterday, it's okay today, is where there is no way to clarify what the situation is at this moment in time. But tzitzis, listen, yesterday the tzitzis were definitely kosher. Right now is a new day. I'm out to make a bracha. Making a bracha levatola is a dover chomor ad meod. It's the third of the aseres hadibros. Lo sisa eshem Hashem elokecho lashav. We unfortunately, I don't think the average person really feels the severity what it means to make a bracha levatola. It's the aseres hadibros. Lo sisa eshem Hashem elokecho lashav. Is it possible for you to be mevarer the chazaka? Of course it is. I just need 10 seconds to give a quick look at the tzitzis, the four corners. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? I can give a quick look and I can see right away if it's kosher or not. So then, who says that you are allowed to rely upon a chazaka, a presumption? The classic examples in the Gemara where we have chazaka is where right now I have to make a decision. And I have no way to clarify what the situation is. This get was sent from far, far away, and it was brought over here. Time has passed. The person was certainly alive. It's his handwriting. He certainly wrote this get, but it's been a month. It's been a month since the date when the get was written. Who says he is still alive? Okay, I can't be mevarer. There's a halachic principle of chazaka, presumption, the status quo. Maintain the status quo, you can be nagel. But if you can clarify the issue, who says you have a right? Who says you have a right to proceed without clarification? And every single day you have that option of clarification. So therefore, you perhaps the tours, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to check. You do have to check. Now, that is one example. Another example is another reason why we cannot say the chazaka is. This is a little bit more delicate. This thing called a chazaka gerua and a chazaka, a strong chazaka. Many of the examples in the Gemara, let's say a person is alive. That's a strong chazaka. Tzitzis, okay, this is why we can be lenient in today's day and age. It's in time of the rush, it appears, and we're just really guessing. It's not so simple. It's a chazaka gerua. Tzitzis were very delicate. There are different levels of chazaka. The example that the Gemara, again, I didn't do my homework well enough to tell you all the good examples of the Gemara of a chazaka, is it's a strong chazaka.
They didn't have separate tzitzis for the Gemara. They took one of the Amabushim and they put it on.
What do you mean? That's it. They have to be. It has to be made l'shmo. You have to make tzitzis. There's a whole halach. How do you make tzitzis? Okay. It has to be done properly. They were very delicate. The tzitzis. Not the beged. The tzitzis. Now talking about the beged. Now. We're talking about the chutim. The tzitzis.
Right, so you took the regular beged you had.
Don't you remember the olden days? When I was a little kid, you know, you don't see this anymore. The tzitzis, they were fuzzy. Like if you put it in the washing machine.
Yeah.
And then my father's shul, the Young Yisrael Avenue J, they used to have a whole talus rack. They were all pasul. They were mamish, all pasul. And I remember I told my father, and they bought they didn't need so many. But that time when I entered the scene, already was a time when everyone had their own talus. It wasn't like you walk off the street, you wrap a scarf around your shoulders. It was past that time. So they bought 10 new talisot. I don't have the pillows, lachloiko, the paya. They bought new ones. But I remember the old ones, they were all mamish, all pasul. They were all cut, they were shriveled, it was horrible. And that was already not so long ago. So you can imagine what it was like in time of the rush. It was a chazaka gerua. chazak gerua, so lamai nas gemina. Today it's not a chazak gerua anymore. Today the quality, you don't see that type of stuff anymore. You go, you can wash out your tzitzis, you're not going to go see them fizzle. You're not going to see them. It's a different world today. You don't see that anymore today. Today it's not so common to find a pair of tzitzis, a mamish pasul. So then you can be makel to bizman hazeh. You can be sovich on the chazakah. Okay, now what else? Other answer, now I don't know why this answer is that you're dealing with an isser chomer ad ma'oid, and this is another reason why you don't say chazaka, is like we said, loisisa, eshem, Hashem, lokecha, lashav, this is a different level of severity, of chomerah. The aveir of saying Hashem's name lashav is more chomer. Why is it more chomer? I don't know exactly why. And for that, we don't want to play around. Another example. The only time you say Mechan Chazaka is only when, let me over here. Din Chazaka Min HaTorah V'Simcha Lev B'Chol Yisurim is, there are different types of Chazaka. No, this is the wrong thing. One second. There are different types of Chazaka. Oh, here it is. Tzor Lev HaShem V'Chol Yisurim V'Avram. The davka hecha the tzach lohoitzi micheskas isur, to remove something micheskas isur, ein soimchin al hachazaka v'loy al aroyv ve'oz sarach levar. So when do you need this, coming to contradict this principle, is when you have something that is, there are two types of chazak. You have a chazak when something is osur. If it was osur yesterday, does it remain osur today? So, we need examples to explain this concept. Let's say a woman is an eishes ish. Okay, a woman is a married woman, and now the question is, did her husband? She's an aguna. Did her husband die? Her husband. The last time we saw her husband, the husband had, let's say, a disease. And you go to the professionals, they'll tell you a person that is suffering from this disease has a life expectancy of 1 year. We know as a fact, this man, he was in battle, whatever the matzav was, he, without a question, we have eyewitnesses, he was suffering from a certain type of disease. You go to all the studies online, and they tell you that a person with this disease cannot possibly live more than 1 year. So until now, this woman, she's married, she's an HS ish. It's now 5 years later. So is this woman, is she allowed to remarry? Is she allowed? We have no idea what happened to her husband. All we know is that the husband had a disease, and the medical science of the day is he can't live more than 1 year. It's now 5 years later. So here, there's something called, she has a cheskas isser. She was an eishes ish. And even though you have a roiv, and there are statistics, and there are many, many reasons why you want to say that she should not be permitted to remarry, that her husband died, everything that you're trying to, the reason you're trying to permit her is to go against her presumption. She was originally forbidden to remarry. She was an eishes ish. There's a chazaka. If this is what you were yesterday, this is what you are today. You now want to go and break the chazaka by introducing a roiv. Most people in this condition don't live that long. Or you want to use other elements? No. Chazaka is so powerful. The principle of chazak is so powerful that a roiv, a majority, or other criteria will not break a chazak. When it comes to tzitzis, what are you trying to do? Is there a cheskas iser? No. You have an object. There's no iser heter. Can you make a bracha? You have an object. Is this object suitable to make a blessing on? Yesterday it was, so today, why not? Today also it should be suitable to make a blessing on. Madach, when it comes to a cheskas Well, I don't know. I take that back. What is it?
They get Arba Kampos, so have to have a cheskes that this is a
kosher. There's something called, I'm trying to bring out, there's a difference between the kav cheskes kashrus and a cheskes isur. A cheskes isur is very, very strong. It endures forever. But to say that something is kosher, that's a different ballgame. Just because it was kosher yesterday, who says it's kosher today? When it's a kumbiyaseh, we're throwing out words. There's a chazaka. Yesterday was the talis kosher? Yes. So today it's also kosher. Today I'm going to make a bracha. L'sateh v'tzitzis. I make a bracha today. It was good yesterday, because the Gemara talks about chazaka. Many of the examples the Gemara talks about chazaka are chazakas of cheskas isra.
We
have cheskas. Eve menachai.
We have
cheskas
that she wasn't
that. That's a difference. You have to go through all the cases. Example, shchita. You have a doubt. How does the Gemara apply the case of chazaka by shchita? You do a shchita. I'm not really sure we did the right shchita. We did hagroma. When you do shchita, you have to do it very gently. If you press down too hard, it's not a kosher shchita. You know, not really sure. Most of the time I do it good. Roif, I do it good. 99% of the time I do a good shchita. You know, today I wasn't paying attention. So you know, it's like rote. I could assume, let's go bust a roif. No, you can't. If you can't tell me that you did a kosher shchita, it's not a kosher shchita. Why? Not every day I do it perfect. Today I was daydreaming. I was doing the shchita, and while I was doing the shchita, I was daydreaming, I was thinking about something going on in my family. But I'm so used to this. I go when I do the shchita, it's just second nature to do the shchita. This animal is osur to eat. It's eiver min achai. It's eiver min achai. It was never permitted. You are doing an act of shchita to take off the prohibition of eiver min achai. There's a cheskas iser. Don't go tell me that we go baser roif. There's a cheskas iser. The cheskas iser endures. That's not the case when it comes to tzitzis. Tzitzis, yesterday, was this garment good for a bracha? Yes. So today it's also good for a bracha. That's not the case of chazaka. The classic case of chazaka in the Gemara is usually a cheskas iser, not a cheskas kashrus. Animal was osur ba'achila, there's a chazak, it was osur, it's going to be osur today. Osur today. You want to go take that principle of a chazaka, that yesterday it was good, and today it shouldn't? Who says? Who says you can do a kumviyaseh based upon a chazaka? The chazaka is only l'chumra, not l'kula. So in any event, we have over now, what's interesting is the Aruch HaShulchan says, the Feirush, that he says that inspecting your tzitzis, these are his words, is a midas chasidus pelam. Because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch says ye'ayin b'chutei tzitzis. He holds it's a midas chasidus. And Iker Adid, you have a right to assume, especially if you checked it yesterday, if it was good yesterday and it wasn't torn, you could assume that it's good today. The Mishnah Brura, he says, he goes to town, and he says, he has a whole discussion that l'chore you don't really have to do it. He does hold the chazaka. Let me read the words over here. The l'chore ain't tzach livdoik ella echa behem kevan shebavarchem baruch achas al kul. If you have multiple talisas, ulapacha is atal shebadak chalo al zeh baracha. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be talking about a person who wears multiple garments. Who does that today? Rabbi Pinchas Scheinberg was the last one that we know that wore multiple, I'll read the words. This is the Mishnah Berurah. Kama begodim shel arba kanfas. Arba kanfas. I wonder if Rabbi Pinchas Scheinberg never revealed, to the best of my knowledge, why he wore many garments. You ever see Rabbi Pinchas Scheinberg? He looked like he worked for the NFL. Football player, okay? Mamash, he wore 100 garments of ta'ala. And people always asked him, Dover Zed Loyla Yinu, why are you doing this? He never revealed. I know from his family. I know from someone that was his niece. he never revealed why he did this. And one thing that we do know about Pinchas Schomburg is that he had an incredible chibah for the Mishnah Berurah. Spent his whole life learning Mishnah Berurah again and again and again and again. They actually put out recently, after his petira, they put out a sefer, his ha'oros on the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah talks about it, he brings down, the Mishnah Berurah is not common, you know, they bring down different shilas, a person who wears multiple garments. B'mi sheloivesh kama begodim shel arba kanfes. So do you have to check every single garment? And this touched upon what a mayor, or someone over here asked this question is, Dr. Dove, what you were referring to, is that you're being over on a mitzvah say, the person puts on a garment of four corners and does not have kosher tzitzis, so besides the pasuk, the problem being a brocha levatola, which is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's also the problem that you're being over on an assay of wearing a garment of dalid kinafos that does not have tzitzis. You're over on a bittul mitzvah assay. No one talks about that. It must be that that's not such a terrible thing because you didn't know, you're not aware. You're to make a brocha levatola kum v'yasei, that's pretty serious because you're doing something. But to be wearing a garment, so you're putting on the garment, you're putting on the garment, and the garment doesn't have the kosher tzitzis. I don't know. How come no one talks about that? The severity of that halacha. You obviously have to be mechalik between the severity of making a brocha levatola versus the severity of being mevatel a mitzvah saseh of wearing a garment of four corners without tzitzis. And to prove that it's not as severe, because the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person puts on multiple garments that have tzitzis, like a Pinchas Schomburg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, multiple garments, you only have to check one garment, because of the chashash of a bracha levatala. Once you know that one garment is kosher, it's not a bracha levatala. Oh, but I'm wearing like a football player, another 100 garments, so why don't we chayish each one of those garments is a bittul mitzvah saseh of dalid kanfois without tzitzis. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to be chayish. Mi shaloi vesh kama begodim shal arba kanfois. Ha'im tzarech livdek es kulam lufnei abracha, delukhara ein tzarech livdek elo echad mehem. Kevan shemavarchem baracha achas al kulam, ulepachas atal shabod achalav al ze abracha. Aval ho'achroinim kasru ditzarech livdek kulam. Then he goes on to say, even though he says, really, maybe we'll make a bracha on one, but you have to make a bracha on all of them, he introduces this, kev kulam deloy soymchen, he writes, we're not soymech al chazaka, b'makam, he comes back to this principle that we said before, b'makam she'efshar levarer. The gam, then he brings up this other point that we made from the other mefarshim, the gam she'zehu chazaka gerua. Then he goes on to say that the chazaka, the reason why we cannot rely upon the chazaka, this is the Mishnah Berurah writing 100 years ago, he's writing, because it's a chazaka gerua. It is very common for the tzitzis to break. Unbelievable, okay? So this is... Yes, yes.
On the primary sources making a difference between the strings that come up from the top, kisharim, and the ones that come up from the bottom. They go around the loop.
They go around the loop. Yes.
The top tzitzis, you must check them. You have to check them.
What do you mean the top? I mean the top of each tzitzis where it comes out of the garment. Because if one of them is caught, it's possible.
No, where it comes up from the sharm.
Okay.
On the top. He says that has to be checked every day. But the ones that come out of the bottom that are attached to the garment, the bottom.
I'm confused what you mean.
The part
that's near the garment. So what does he say? The part that's near the garment.
Over here, you don't have to check.
Adarabah, if one chud over here is cut, then it's mamish possible.
But that's more protected.
Right.
It's more severe, but the Shlomo Zalman says it seems as though there's less chance.
Less chance. So he's entering into the chances.
If you don't have time, he says it's okay not to check them.
And everyone seems to say that there's a yesh al milismach, not to check it all.
At the bottom, not the top.
Right. Because the bottom, if one chud is cut, it's still kosher. If two are cut, it's also likely kosher. And also, how much is it cut? Go through all the halachas. Will it get cut? Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah is dealing with everything. He's mentioning the chazaka gerua. He's talking about there are different levels of chazaka. He's talking about the bracha levatala, and he's talking about the bittel of not of dalit kanfais without kosher. The Mishnah Berurah really covers it all. He's covering a lot in this. He's dealing with many of the issues. Okay.
And as far as chazaka on Isser Nidah, a woman has a chazaka, not a nidah, if she has that chazaka, you don't have to worry each time that you became
right. There's a lot of levels here. Now here's what the nafkamin is. The nafkamin is Shabbos. See, this is not just stam, you know, to make these inspections. There's another nafkamin. The nafkamin is, what about, should you check your tzitzis on Shabbos? Why not? Why not? Well, right, that is correct, because you may come if the tzitzis, let's say it's not a shayla of carrying, because the talis is in shul. Put that aside, that's that issue. Let's just talk about, it is very common that the tzitz, even today, that the knots loosen up. And if you tighten the knots, that borders on an iser d'oraisa, melacha d'oraisa of kosher. Number two, if the tzitzis are all tangled, they're all intertangled with one another, and you open them up and you separate them like you're supposed to, you're supposed to separate them. From the Rambam, it's mashma, that it may in fact be an abizrayu, a tolda of ariga. The Rambam, when he describes the melacha of orig on Shabbos, I read the words of the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchah Shabbos, Perek Tes Lachi Yitesh Shekosav, Shamedaktek Es Shahamed. This is talking about Ori, the melacha of weaving on the loom. Shahamedaktek Es Achutim, a person that is precise with the chutin, Umas Ridon, and separates each chut from the other, again intertangled, the Esar Riga, Hare Ze Toldas Oireg. It's a melacha on the loom. So he writes over here the Yefeliv. I'm not familiar with all these. He quotes the Sefer a lot, called the Gan HaMelech. It seems like it's an old Sefer. The Gan has a lot to say about all this topic. And there's a very big Shaila on Shabbos. It's very common that tzitzis get all intertangled. And when you're going to inspect it, it's inevitable that you're going to separate them from each other. And if the Rambam says, when it comes to the Melacha of Oireg on the loom, that's a tolda of Oireg, it can be a good thing. When you're going to inspect your tzitzis on Shabbos, and you're going to, it's inevitable that at some point in time, last week was a kiddush, and there are a lot of children running around, and you also are running around, it's inevitable that it's going to happen at a point in time that your tzitzis are going to get all intertangled, and you're going to be in a rush, you're going to just put it into your talis bag and open it up next Shabbos, and you're going to inspect it, and you're going to see they're all tangled together, you're going to open it up. That is a real shayla of oireg, and that's a shayla, and if it gets loosened, which always happens, tightening it, you can forget yourself that it's Shabbos, then tightening it is a shayla of kosher. So maybe on Shabbos, it would be a good idea, adarabah, to be soimech on the chazaka, and not inspect, because inspecting yotza sechoroi behef seder. I'll give you an example. When they came to America, when they came to America before the Satmarov, the Satmarov told his Hasidim, when the Kehila began to become a substantial Kehila in America, and they had their own their bakeries, and they started doing. This thing is running out of power. Just give me a plug this in before this thing runs out of juice. We forgot to plug this in today. On battery power here. Let's plug this in. I'm getting a warning. Computers today are very sophisticated. They warn you. All right, back in business now. So they told the Sadmer Rav that he says Chodosh. We're going to be back, but on Chodosh only Kemach Yoshan. Only Kemach Yoshan. That's what he told the Hasidim. This is what it says in the RJ Journal. They have a while ago on the RJ Journals. There's a very, very long footnote. They have a, you probably can find it online, this article about Chodosh today. And in the back, they have a footnote, a whole page footnote, telling over this story from reliable source, supposedly. The Sadma Rav insisted. This probably goes back, I don't know, when was this? Probably in the 50s, early 50s. I don't know exactly when. Chodosh. We're going to be makbid on the Isser Chodosh, all of the bakeries under the authority of the Satmar Hechsherim, under this community has to be Kemach Yoshan. So they came back and they said to him, okay, we, you know, even though in the Alta Haim we didn't do this, the Bach, was makbid on Kemach Yoshan in pre-war Europe, because it just wasn't practical. It wasn't practical, it wasn't possible, and they were very lenient when it came to Kemach. In America, it's very easy to do. And they came back and they said to him, there's a problem. In the Kemach Yoshan, because it's stored for over a long period of time, it is infested with insects, with shiratzim. The Kemach Chodosh, the new crop, okay, so it's Chodosh, it's not Yoshan, but the problems of infestation is relatively minor, insignificant to the infestation of the Kemach that they store for a significant period of time, 9-10 months, until we're going to use it. So it says, and that is an Isser, multiple Isurei De'oraisa. Every Sheretz, 4 or 5 Isurei De'oraisa. Kemach, Bizman Azeh, in Chutz Li'aretz, L'chol Hadeis, is at most an Isser Midrabanan. One Isser Midrabanan. So instead of that's the case, forget it. That's the case, forget it. Kemach Chodosh. Yes, that's what it says in this footnote in one of the older RJJ journals. You know, the contemporary halachic issues. The RJJ journal, there was a fantastic article about Kemach Bizman Hazeh, Chodosh Yoshe Bizman Hazeh, and in that article there's a long footnote telling the story of the Satmar Rav when they first started up the Kehila here, and they had their own bakeries, and he wanted it should be Kemach, there should be Nizer in Kemach Yoshan, and they told him the Kemach Yoshan is full of Shiratzim. And he said, if that's the case, it's nothing to talk about, forget it, it was good enough back in the olden days, it should be good enough, you know, I feel like I'm a Satmar. Yesterday when I went to Lake with Pidyon Aben, so I didn't have Mincha. So I wake up at Mincha, there's a Satmar Shtibel around the corner. Oh, Satmar Shtibel, gewaldig. In Lakewood, the heart of Lakewood? Yes. Wow, it's good. So I said, the Gnadavin, after Shkia, says, no, they have before. So I go around the corner, and sure enough, I go into this Shtibel. It's a Shtibel called Yitav Lev. Yitav Lev. I go in there, I'm looking for Saba Hasidim. I can't find even one. They daven, everyone in my minion, they daven before Shkia. No one was wearing a gartel. And guess what I found on the table, without even trying? I found an Ashkenaz sitter. In Chaim Berlin, of Menachem Sperling, I cannot find an Ashkenaz sitter. I can only find Tzvar Tzidur. I don't know what is going on over there. Okay? Chaim Berlin, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And all they have there, Tzvar Tzidur, what's going on over there? And I go there to Sama Shtibel in Lakewood, and what do I find on the table? Ashkenaz.
Does the Bima have
one? What? That, I guess they do. I'm telling, and then they have in the hallway a big, big pushka for Bet Medrash Gavoa.
That's not a Satmar Shtibel.
It is a Satmar Shtibel, it is.
You pronounced it wrong, it's St. Mary's.
So I can tell you, Rabbi Yisrael, we live today in an Olam Hafel. We mamish live today, we are so integrated, it is beyond belief. Getting back, so I just want to point out that, I want to bring out this example.
That's why Lakewood makes a lot of money.
They make money from the Adiri HaTorah. The amount of money they made from Adiri HaTorah, they're not making from the Pushka and the Shtibel, believe me. So the point here is, what do you see from this story? You got to be practical sometimes. I believe they wouldn't write up the story if it wasn't true. You got to be practical sometimes. You got to deal with the facts on the ground, the reality on the ground. So the reality on the ground is it's Shabbos Kodesh. It says in the Rosh, Hachorei L'Dvar Hashem. Hachorei L'Dvar Hashem. You're going to be boydik your tzitzis. The Mechaber says, ye'ayin, you have to be ma'ayin in the tzitzis. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Midas Chasidus. Don't get carried away over here. Midas Chasidus. Today in the 21st century, when the Mishnah Berurah said that it's a chazoko gerua. It was good yesterday, it's good today. Chazoko gerua because the tzitzis, they break every other day. Really, today, do they break every other day? When I was a kid, they did. Okay, it wasn't so easy to find the kosher talus, kosher tzitzis when I was a kid. I remember that very, it wasn't so simple. You go and you would inspect people's, what they're wearing on there. People didn't know the halacha. Today, it's a different quality. There's nothing to talk about. It's a whole different quality. Would the Chavetz Chaim today say that it's a chazaka gerua today? I don't know. That's the big dilemma. You can't go put words in someone else's mouth. Okay, who are we to say? I always say, they say about the state of Israel. They're quoting over here, 75 years later, what the Chazon Ish said and what the Brisker Rav says. Hey, it's 75 years later. Don't.
Because they're made in China.
What? So you have to know where to draw the line, and this is not for me to do. Of the Mishnah Berurah says it's a chazaka gerua that your tzitz are still kosher. Really? It's not so easy. It's like you buy a lulav. I told you so this many times. You go into the store, you go buy a lulav. A guy sitting there the whole day checking the lulav and the whole day. Like mamish, OCD on steroids. And a guy walks in, can I have a pasta lulav for my kid? He wants a lulav. So the owner, the buyer says, yeah, go ask this guy. He's sitting here the whole day. Tell him to give you one of his rejects, a lulav that's pasta. He's sitting there the whole day. So he goes over to this guy. And he's sitting there and he says, can you give me one of your rejects that you're looking through over here? You went to 1,000 lulav and give me one that's pasul. So he says, a lulav that's pasul? I'm telling you, I know the halachas. I spent my whole life on this. I learned the halachas. I can tell you as a fact, there's not even one lulav in this store that's pasul. Why am I here the whole day? I'm a meshugana. I want to have a meshugas. I want the perfect lulav. To say that there's a lulav here in this store that's possible, I have not come across one lulav that's possible in this store. Okay, so tzitzis today, I challenge you. You go into, Achshrei Dora. When I was in the Young Israel 25 years ago, I'm not even sure on that rack, they were yellow, more yellow than this, they were old. I don't even know if there was one talus that was kosher. The Tzitzis
gone.
What?
They're all gone.
See, Alan Gross, the president of the Young Israel, could admit. No, it's right. They were all gone. They were not even one that was.
Where do you put a dead talus?
You cut it. Whatever. It's not right. Today, you probably can't find one that you can say with certainty is possible. Okay, there are cases. Okay, I'm not telling you not. Things happen. But today, Achshrei Dorei, Baruch Hashem, Nizer Mitzvos, the quality is outstanding. Yeah, a talus as in shul. It's not so easy to say that it's not kosher. It's not so easy. Not so easy to say that it's not kosher. There are many mahalakim. So with the Mishnah Berurah, what would he say today? I don't know. You can't say. So today, when you have a very stark chazaka, and the Aruch HaShulchan, he learns the sugyas like the original Rosh, and it's a midas chasidus, you got to be mamash achol l'dvar Hashem. On the other hand, it is very common today that the knots loosen up. And it is very common today that the tzitzis get tangled. And undoing the tangling and making the knots is a shail of an issa deraisa. And so how do you weigh the balance on Shabbos Kodesh of inspecting your talis before you put it on? During the weekday halavai, of course you should inspect the talis. Right? What is also the Rosh Tevis of tzitzis? The Rosh Tevis of tzitzis is tzadik yafrid tzitzios Tamid. A tzaddik is yafrid his tzitzis continuously. So what are the goals? What are the parameters? There's one thing, no one says this, no one says, but I want to just add my two cents into the whole purpose of wearing tzitzis, the Torah is makdim. Okay, this is not halacha, but it's interesting, just to pay attention, is uri'isem oisai. The whole purpose of a talis, of tzitzis, is to look at the tzitzis. Now, when do you look at the tzitzis? When are you mekayim the inyon of looking at the tzitzis? Before you put it on? or after you put it on. You make the bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah v'mitzvah l'satef b'tzitzis. You can't ignore the fact that there's a mitzvah, there's a chelik of the mitzvah. I don't know exactly where you want to put it, is to look at the tzitzis.
Maybe it's after.
So Dr. Dov is telling me it's after. When you do Kriya Shema, when you say tzitzis, you can hang on the wall. Okay, you're hanging on the wall for sure. Excellent. There's no doubt about it. Hanging it on the wall is not the mitzvah. There's no doubt about that. But when you put the tzitzis on, here is my thing, when you put the tzitzis on and you're about to make the bracha, is part of the mitzvah, pashup shot is the inyan of looking at the tzitzis is after you are already wearing the tzitzis. It's interesting though that you don't really do that. You put it on and you go and you take the tzitzis and you whip the guy behind you and you whip the guy on the side. You whip him and that's it. Does it say anywhere when you put on tzitzis that after you put on the tzitzis you should go look at them? I'm not aware. You do a hatafa during Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is long gone. You make the bracha. The only place that it says you're supposed to look at the tzitzis is before you make the bracha. It's incredible. The pashup shot is you put on the tzitzis and then you look at the tzitzis. But we don't do that. It doesn't say that. It says during Kriya, it's a minog. That's not the Iker Hadin. When you say Kriya Shema, you take it in your pinky, you collect them, and then you say Kriya Shema, you cover your eyes, and you come to certain words, v'yatzev v'nochon, there are certain parts, different minhagim. That's long after you've made, when you make the bracha, is it not interesting, haloi davar, when you didn't yet make the bracha, just as you're about to make the bracha, that is the moment that it says in Shulchan Aruch, look at the tzitzis. Now it says in Shulchan Aruch, look at the tzitzis to make sure that it's not a bracha levatala. But by the way, you're looking at the tzitzis, you're doing Uri Yisem Oysoi. And then you make the bracha. So hanging it up on the wall for sure is not the mitzvah. But is looking at the tzitzis and then making the bracha a chelik of, and then putting it, is that a chelik of the Risa or so? I don't know. L'choy or not, but who, I don't know. We have to really be mindless. But on the other hand, we have to understand something. At the very least, you're looking at the tzitzis. Because if you don't look at the tzitzis, what happens to most people is you're very busy, life is very difficult, and it can be difficult, and you just go through the motions. You wake up in the morning, talis, you can close your eyes, and you just put the talis on, you make a bracha, and then you're out, you daven, you lip service, and you're out of the shul. Did you look at your tzitzis today? The very least, you look at the tzitzis to remember, by the way, I'm supposed to look at the tzitzis, maybe later in the day, after I make the bracha. It at least awakens you to what the purpose of this mitzvah is. The purpose of this mitzvah is to look. So look at the tzitzis. When else you can look at the tzitzis? So there's an incredible advantage of checking the tzitzis, at least for the very purpose of giving you the flavor of the mitzvah of looking at the tzitzis. Okay, now on that note, we're going to finish off now with this, is that where does the mitzvah, Dvar Agada, wind down the halacha? The halacha, there is no question, Nikar Hadin, a person should check his tzitzis every single day. And if you can't do it before davening, at least when you put it away, you should check it. You should check the tzitzis. So once you check it today, it's good for tomorrow. That's the very least. If a person was not able, he did not have time to do so, there is no doubt about it. Yesh al mi lismoich to be samech on a chazaka. That is beyond a shadow of a doubt correct. Shabbos, it appears, is a machlekes apoiskim. If you really should check, the best thing by far is when you put away your Shabbos talis, mitzvah Shabbos. Okay, there is such a minhag that people do not fold their talis perfectly on Shabbos. It's a minhag, because today really there's no laundering in that. And they fold their talis once again, mitzvah Shabbos. They take out their talis from the talis bag and they refold it nicely, mitzvah Shabbos. It is an ideal thing is to check the tzitzis then. If you check the tzitzis then, it's good for the next Shabbos. It's been checked, you close the zipper, it's put away. Now, it's for sure a chazaka, it's going to be good. And that way you don't have to get into the issue of checking your tzitzis on Shabbos, which may lead to kosher, which may lead to oirek. If a person did not do that last mitzvah Shabbos and once should he do it on this Shabbos, there are different opinions on this matter. If you should separate the tzitzis, how much should you really check? But of course, you should keep in mind never to tighten the knots on Shabbos. To finish down with Dvar Agada, where do the tzitzis come from in Agada? Well, there's two parts. There's the talis and there are the tzitzis. The tzitzis come from who? Avraham Avinu. When he said to Melech Sedoim, in Michut, the Atzeroichnal in Ekach Mikol Asherloch. Where does the talis come from? Shame. Shame covered Noach. Noach, Vayigal B'Soich Oholoi, he was exposed, and shame came along and he covered him. Because he was misamet to hide the busha of his father, his descendants were Zoicha to the Beged, the talis, not the tzitzis. Avraham came along and improved upon that by saying in Michut v'yatzureichnal the tzitzis. Now we have to ask ourselves, the ikur purpose of the tzitzis to see is seeing. U'isem oisoy u'zichartem. The beged is it's not the mitzvah. The beged is just the prerequisite, but it's called the talishal mitzvah. The beged is the support for the tzitzis. So it has to be that the talis also relates to seeing, and indeed it does. Because what exactly did Shem do with the talis, that is the source of our talis? He covered the nakedness of his father. Okay? Which has a flavor of shmiras einayim. In fact, that's where it comes from. The talis covered the nakedness of a human being. But what about Avraham? Where do we see in the Makor of Avram when he said in Michut v'yatzeroich nal any element of Re'iyah? If the whole purpose of the Chutzal Tzitzis is Re'isem Oysam, when Avram Avinu said in Michut v'yatzeroich nal, this was money. I'm not taking any money from you. I don't want to go take any spoils of war. What does it have to do with looking with the eyes? Adrabah, you would say just the opposite, that the talis, that the eyes should go back to shame, who covered the nakedness of his father. So the answer has to be, this goes really to the mitzvah of lesachmait. Chazal say, how does it come in this world, a person to have a desire for something that is not his? So the words of Chazal are, ayin royeh, the lave, and the lave. Oh, what? No, that's a different chazal. But talk about chemda. The eye sees and the heart is choymeit. The ayin is roya and the lave is choymeit. And then you begin to become what? Uklei maaseh goymrim. That's the chazal. And then you begin, how am I going to manipulate to get a hold of this guy's possessions? Guy goes down the street, beautiful car. You see the car. You look at the car. Ooh, I like that car. Your heart begins to pump. I want that car. What am I going to do to get that car? I'll lend him money of interest, and eventually I'll repossess his car. Avraham Avinu says, I don't want your money. Anything that you have, I don't want. I don't want to take what's not mine. You know why? Because Avraham Avinu, he didn't look at other people's assets. It all starts, Avraham Avinu, when he said the words, in Michut v'yatzeroich nal in ekach mikol asherloch. Melech Sedom, you have a nice car, you have nice house, and you have assets, gold and silver. I'm not interested. Who doesn't like nice things? Why wasn't Avram interested in having a nice car like Melech Sedom? It's because Avram Avinu didn't look at the car of Melech Sedom. I don't mean he didn't look. He didn't look like the Meraglim. He didn't look. You see someone has a nice car. Ooh, You don't, when you look at other people's assets as, wow, then the lev is choymed, and eventually you start seeking to take possession of it. But if you don't look at other people's wealth with the wrong perspective, then you're happy with what you have. So the Musa Haskell, you walk down, you see these beautiful houses in this neighborhood, you walk down. So some people, they walk down and they say, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave them. Hashem gave, provided for them. And other people, they walk down, oh, I'm so jealous. How am I going to go on Section 8 to get a house like this? and go get another credit card and pull this shtick and that shtick. What's the difference? How come one guy walks down and he looks at someone's house and says, beautiful, Baruch Hashem, Jewish people have money. Another guy walks down and he says, how am I going to get this house to myself? It's a different look. It's a different look. The way you look at something. I don't want your money. What does tzitzis have to do with money? Tzitzis has to do with looking, not with money. Teretz is, it's all totally zebuzet. That's how it starts. It starts with the way you look at money. If you look at money in the wrong way, leif choymeit, and then you're in a lot of trouble. You have a lot of choymeit. But if you look at money, another person's assets, with a proper Torah hashkafa, then you can taka say, in michut, the atzeray chmal. So it's all totally in the ri'iyas ha'inayim.